Some of you may feel that you don't need this lesson tonight, and we'll excuse you. You can be excused if you feel that you don't need it. But let's read the text together first, okay? And we're continuing in our study in 2 Peter chapter 1 with the Christian virtues, which is listed there. And we're going to study verse number 6 tonight, where he talks about still adding to your these various things. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. The one we're talking about tonight, I'm reading from the New King James, is perseverance, which in the King James was patience. And that's the one we're going to study about tonight. So maybe some have all the patience they need. And you might like to be excused there. Let's read a text from, not anybody going to leave. Huh? You know, if my wife had a chance, she'd probably say, I sure hope that my preacher's listening tonight. We talk about patience. James chapter 5, I'd like to read a few verses beginning in verse number 7. James chapter 5, beginning in verse number 7. Hope you'll follow along as best you can reading tonight. He says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and lighter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the patience or the perseverance of Job, and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. What does patient mean? You've already seen the word perseverance used interchangeably with it here. There are other words that could be used probably interchangeably with it also. Webster, for example, uses the word forbearance. He says it has reference to bearing or enduring pain, trials, or the like without complaint and with calmness and composure. Cruden says that this refers to the grace which enables us to bear affliction and calamities with constancy and calmness of mind and with a ready submission to the will of God. It implies trust upon the Lord as we are patient and depend upon Him. Woods, in his commentary, says that it includes the idea of positive resistance of evil and a steadfast bearing up under them. Self-control is the one we studied just before this, and he says self-control leads to and perfects patient endurance. Before we can have patient endurance, we must learn to practice self-control, in other words. Because only those who discipline themselves are able to endure patiently the trials of life. And Overby says it is from a word that means, a Greek word, which means to persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles, to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others, to be mild and slow in avenging, to be long-suffering, slow to anger, slow to punish. So we can see a wide range of words could be used in reference to it. It has to being has includes that idea of endurance and continuance under hardship or difficulties, and being patient as we wait for deliverance from such things. Being patient as we wait for that which we hope for, example. a great need of patience, isn't there? That's one of those things we expect in everybody else, though, isn't it? Everybody except us usually needs to be patient, and we expect everybody else to be patient, but many times we do not recognize the need ourselves. Hebrews 10 and verse 36, the Hebrew writer says, "For you have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of the Lord, ye might receive the promise." God's made us many promises in His Word. Those promises are not just fulfilled just overnight. His Word talks about how that we become new creatures. If you read the article in today's bulletin, there are some people in the religious world who think that becoming a new creature is something that instantaneously takes place. That God and expects if God works in our lives to do things by miracles and do it just instantaneously. But that's not the way God works. And that's one of the reasons why we're exhorted to have patience. Wait for God to complete His process. It's a matter of growth. And He's made us many promises. After those notes were completed, I add here some promises. You think of some of the promises that God has made to us. Galatians 6 and verse 9, let us not grow weary. That requires patience, doesn't it? To not grow weary. Let us not grow weary in well doing, for in due time we shall reap if we faint not. We need patience, endurance, perseverance, ability to forbear in order to receive the reward for well doing. It's not just rewarded right then. And so we mustn't grow weary. And Jesus is coming again. We need patience that we might receive that promise, the Hebrew writer tells us. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 58, Paul says, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Is it in vain to serve the Lord? He says it's not. So we shouldn't grow weary in it. We should be steadfast in it because it is not in vain. It's going to be rewarded. But we need patience in order that that promise might be fulfilled. And He's promised to give us a victory over the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, 1 John 5 and verse 4. But that doesn't happen just like that. It's a matter of growth and development of our faith and of adding of these Christian virtues. Patience, perseverance, endurance is required. And so we need to have patience so that after we've done the will of the Lord, we don't just receive payment right then. We don't receive the promises, the reward of the promises right then. In Luke chapter 8, verse number 15, when Jesus told the parable of the sower that went forth to sow, He talked about the good seed, the seed that fell on the good soil, and that said it brought forth, it bore fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 40. But that it did it with patience. That ground bear fruit out of an honest and good heart with patience. As we serve the Lord, we must be patient. We will be able to bear fruit. And the planting of the seed will bear fruit. And we must keep on planting the seed. But it takes patience many times before we see the crop that grows from it. Luke 21 and verse 19, in your patience you will possess your souls. It's by being patient, persevering, not being thrown off course or off our target or off our purpose by trials and difficulties. Persevering, enduring, that's the way we're going to be saved. Salvation is not something that's given to us just by one-time action. Not by one-time repenting of sins or confessing the name of Christ and then being buried in baptism and arising and you're saved eternally. No, it's a growth. In our patience we'll possess our souls. Romans 8 and verse 25, in the context there, He's talking about how that we hope for salvation. And we're saved by hope. We don't see our salvation. We haven't realized it yet. And it's hope. Hope for that salvation that causes us to be patient.
We keep on looking for it. We keep on waiting for it. We keep on persevering. We keep on going, though we've not received our salvation that yet. And though we don't see it, we wait patiently for it because of hope that we have. We're to follow after patience. 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 11 says, in following after, running after, chasing after, pursuing righteousness and godliness, faith, love, meekness, patience. We're also, that's to be one of our goals, to develop patience. Do you work on developing patience? I know sometimes we might think a husband or a wife or our children or our parents are not very patient. But it should be the goal of all of us to work on developing patience. The Lord delivered Paul out of all the trials and difficulties, and implies that the Lord will deliver those who patiently endure under trials. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 and 11, Paul tells Timothy, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, and my long-suffering, my love and my patience and the persecutions and afflictions," he says, "which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra." But he says, out of all of these, the Lord delivered me. We need to be patient. Sometimes people in the midst of a trial, a difficulty that they're experiencing in their life, turn away from following the Lord instead of persevering and enduring. We've all seen people right here in our own midst. We've had members of this congregation who have gone through difficult times. I, for fear of embarrassing some of you, I could call the names of some of you right here tonight, and other members of this congregation who I know have been through difficult times, but you patiently endured. You kept on doing the will of the Lord. You kept on trying to do that was what was right. And you're out of those now. And in that sense, patient really helps us, or being patient helps us in the trials and difficulties, and overcoming them helps us to grow. We have an example of patience in Abraham in Hebrews chapter 6. How that he received the promise. And it was through patience that he received the promise. He waited some 25 years before, or maybe longer than that, but I know it was at least 25 years before he saw the promised seed that God had promised to him. Hebrews chapter 6. Beginning in verse number 12, he says that we should not become sluggish, slothful, or lazy. Writing here to Christians, and this is an admonition which should apply to each and every one of us, that as we live the Christian life, we shouldn't become sluggish or lazy neglect to be active in the work of the Lord, but he says to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Keep on having faith in God under trials or difficulties, or under a dry season where it appears that there's not much growth. Keep on being patient. Keep on doing the will of the Lord. Through faith and patience, you'll inherit the promise. And then he says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. Now he says, I'm going to make your seeds like the stars of the sky. But he didn't even have a child at that time. And he says, through you, all through your seed, which is in reference to Christ, all nations of the earth are going to be blessed. That wasn't just fulfilled just like that, was it? It took many years for his seed to number the stars in the sky. And Abraham never really saw it all. But he says here in verse 15, and so after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He kept on persevering. He kept on doing the will of the Lord. He didn't give up on God's promise. So patience is very important. We must be patient in tribulation. Hebrews 12 and verse 12. And when Paul wrote, or Paul, when the Lord spoke to wrote the letters to the seven churches of Asia in Revelation chapter 2. He addressed the church at Ephesus and commended them for their patience. There had been some there that were false apostles, and he said, you tried them and you found that they were liars, they were deceivers, they weren't apostles, they were false. And he says there in Revelation 3 or 2 and verse number 3, he says, you tried these apostles. He says, thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and have not fainted. They kept on working for the Lord, though there was problems, though there was difficulties. That's what patience and endurance and perseverance has reference to. There are many things that help to develop patience in us. You know anything that's helped develop patience in you? Well, I've seen in my experience that the other course really can cause a lot of problems. You know, if you have difficulties or problems and you don't bear with them patiently, you can make the problems worse, can't you? Romans chapter 5 and the first 4 verses there, the Apostle Paul says, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience or perseverance or endurance, he could have said there, long suffering. When we have problems and we have difficulties and we endure through them, we see them through to the end, it teaches us to be patient. We learn that that's the best course. Romans 8 verse 25 speaks about the fact that hope develops patience. If we have hope, then we believe it's going to come. We believe the promise of God, and because we have faith and hope and trust in God, then we patiently wait for the fulfillment of His promises for our salvation. Romans 15 and verse number 4 says, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. One of the things we're doing right here tonight is we're studying in the Scriptures examples of Abraham, for example, who had patience and faith and received the reward. And so as we study about other people and how they've had patience to study the Scriptures, and we see how God rewarded them and kept His promises, then it helps us to have patience also. And then in James chapter 1, first few verses there, about the second verse, James says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience or develops patience. Trials, tribulations, perseverance, all of those, when we endure them and remain steadfast, helps to develop patience. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. They're an example to us of patience. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, well, before, call, remember that the Thessalonians had received the gospel and became Christians. The church was established there under a great deal of persecution. In fact, Paul was so concerned about that church that he sent Timothy to go back and to see how that they were doing. He mentions that in his first letter there. But he received word from Timothy that they had been faithful under the persecution that they had received. And so in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4, he said to them, we glory in you for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations. Paul was glorying about the fact that they had had faith under the trials and persecutions and afflictions and patience under it, and had endured. In our passage here in James, he says, look at the farmer. Well, I think about old Frank back there. Now, I don't know, he doesn't do a whole lot of farming there, but it takes patience, doesn't it, to watch those, to feed those cattle. Hey, Frank, and watch them. I can remember my dad looking over that herd of cattle and wondering, you know, are they putting on weight, you know, looking at them as some disease afflicting them? Have they got these grub worms on their back? Do you still have trouble with those things? Do you call them, they still call them grub worms there on their backs and things like that? It takes patience. You know, you invest a bunch of money in it, and it's going to be a period over a period of months, maybe years, before that they begin to pay off. And so the farmer, he has to plant his crop. And he's got to have some rain on it at the beginning, and along as it's growing. And at the end, he's got to have some rain to finish it off so it'll fill out the heads of grain. Patience. The Lord works through processes of growth and development in us physically, in us spiritually, in all the world about us. I bet if you were to stop and think, you could think about somebody who has exhibited a great deal of patience under severe hardship in your life, in their lives. I've known of people that had circumstances. Just today, talking to a lady whose nephew and his wife and their three children phoned her at work one day from her house and said, we got the key to your house from your sister-in-law, and we've moved in for the summer. And she's talking about how she has need of patience. And she says, I can do it. It's going to be hard, but I can do it. That would be, she's a woman that lives alone. And she thinks that they think they're doing her a favor to be there and to keep her company and so forth. Well, that's going to be some extreme difficult circumstances. I don't know whether I could handle that or not if that was to happen like that to me. I've known of other circumstances, maybe in the case of illness or sickness, where somebody has taken care of people through months or maybe years of some maybe a crippling illness or difficulty, and they have shown a great deal of patience. They've endured, and they've got on top of it. And we have people like that around us all the time. And there are people we need to admire. Now some of you wives could probably talk about how patient and what all you have to put up with too, you know. And some of us husbands, and I guess there's some of us husbands, I've known of husbands that have put up with wives that, I was thankful that I wasn't married to, you know. It takes a great deal of patience. What are some areas in which we need to have patience? One of them's with people, aren't they? What, Don, what are you laughing about back there? Don and Fawn just laughing, I don't know. Some areas in which we need to have patience. We need to have patience with other people. Elders of the church need to have patience in dealing with people. One of the qualifications for one to be an elder is to be patient. Preachers and teachers need to be patient. Sometimes Christians are very slow to learn. I can tell you that sometimes that's difficult for me. I even become discouraged. Sometimes my heart hurts. I become so frustrated. I'm searching for answers. How do you move people to obey the gospel? They know the truth. They know they need to obey the gospel. Maybe I've studied with them in their homes. Others have been Christians for maybe years, but they won't even be faithful in attending the worship services. And how can you help them? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24 says, the servant of the Lord must be gentle unto all men, ready to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves if peradventure God would give them acknowledging of the truth, or repentance and acknowledging of the truth. It takes a great deal of patience and teaching, instruction and gentleness and kindness to try to move people to grow in the Lord, to live like they should, and to be obedient unto the Lord. Parents have to be patient with children. Children have to be patient with parents. We children would like to think our parents are perfect, but they're not. I know the older we get, the more perfect perhaps we think that our parents are. We go through a period whenever we're young when we think they're very perfect, and then we begin in those teenage years and some of those middle years there that we think our parents are pretty lacking, but then after we get through that, the older we get, I think the more perfect that we think our parents are. But we all need to be patient with one another. Husbands and wives need to be patient with one another. I just read about one couple that they fought continually in their home. All the neighbors knew that, man, this was a stormy marriage. If it ever lasted, they thought it would be it'd be the seventh wonder, eighth wonder of the world or something, if it lasted. And then all of a sudden, they said it changed. And they were talking to some neighbors one night, and they said that two bears had helped them to learn to be patient and to stop their fighting. And the neighbor said, well, we thought it was two bears that caused the fighting. And they said, no, it was two bears that helped us to learn to be patient with one another. One of the bears was bear one another's burdens. And the other one was forbearing one another in love. We need to be patient with people. We need to be patient with God. God is patient, long-suffering with us. Romans 2 and verse 4 says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, his forbearance and his long-suffering toward us, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 verse 9. God's long-suffering and patient with us. When we go to him in prayer, we need to exercise patience also. When we are expecting him to fulfill the promises that he's made in his word, we need to have patience that he'll do it in his time when everything is right. And to believe and trust that he will fulfill those promises. Now there are some who think if he doesn't answer that prayer right then with the next 30 minutes that he's not going to answer it. The Apostle Paul prayed in Romans chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 about going to Rome to preach the gospel in Rome. I don't know exactly how long it must have been. It must have been over 2 or 3 years before he finally had that opportunity to go to Rome. And he didn't go the way perhaps he had thought he would go, but he went as a prisoner to preach the gospel to Rome. But God answered his prayer. He did go to Rome. The psalmist said that we must learn to wait upon the Lord. Psalms 37 and verse 34 says, wait patiently for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you. We just need to have faith, trust him, keep patience, keep in persevering, enduring, and he will reward us. And we need to be patient under trials, disappointments, tribulation, sorrows of this life. Romans 12:12, be patient, tribulation. Remember that tribulation works patience. Tribulation will make us acceptable to God. When you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable to God. 1 Peter 2, verse number 20. Patience is a characteristic I guess we all can work on and develop. And you notice this one wasn't one of the first ones at the list. It's going on back toward the end of the list because there's some other things that it needs to be built upon. A person, a man who suffered a serious accident, had to go to bed. Had to be confined to bed. The doctor told him he had to stay in the bed, and he wanted to know from the doctor, how long will I have to lay here? And the doctor said, well, one day at a time. And that's the way it is. We have to be patient, just one day at a time. Patient and do the Lord's will, one day at a time. We don't know that we have tomorrow. And yesterday is past, and we can't do anything about it. So we need to take the admonition of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Are you out of Christ this night? Would you become a new creature? Would you have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ? And if you would have that hope of eternal life, it's a patient process that you have to begin on. But you can begin on it tonight and enjoy that hope of eternity for all the rest of the days that you live. If you're not in Christ, won't you take that initial step this night? Or if you need to respond to the invitation because of some other reason, will you not do that? While we stand and while we sing, will you not come?